Steve, thanks so much. Just a quick reminder, next half hour, Grant Mulvey, Chicago Blackhawk great, and my best friend, Grant Mulvey, will be joining us. And yes, we will be giving away a pair of Blackhawks tickets to upcoming home game, the home opener, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Alexander Zalbin, don't you feel sad to know that you're not Bill's best friend?
In the whole wide world.
There was a hard blow right here at the top of the segment, but thank you for getting that out of the way.
Well, pulling off the band-aid. To be fair, Alex, you could try a little harder. You know that, right?
I do. I'm right. Really only giving 75%.
Yes, it's that. All right. The season premiere of Saturday Night Live was on last Saturday. Woody Harrelson, the host, Billie Eilish, the musical guest, didn't do very well in the ratings. Why do you think? What happened?
You know, I'm not quite sure about that one. It might be that it was controversial. It might be that, frankly, Woody Harrelson is not necessarily the biggest draw for folks. I do think there's a lot more excitement about this week's episode, where Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who's coming off of 3 Emmy wins, is hosting. Taylor Swift is the musical guest. Definitely seeing a lot of buzz and excitement about that episode. And it might just be that people are worn out from the news. They felt like, we know Alec Baldwin's going to do Trump. He's just going to repeat everything. There wasn't a need to see that right now in the way that perhaps they expected.
I thought he was finished doing Donald Trump. Wasn't that announced prior to
this
season?
He's announced that several times, and then he just keeps coming back.
Also, you and I lost a bet about Saturday Night Live. We were both sure that they would address the Shane Gillis situation in some way, but there was no mention of it, and maybe that's fine. We weren't missing anything, right?
Yeah, I think ultimately they probably fell on the other side and decided, let's just move on. Let's just not rest on this, not make it more of a story than it is. And if they had done that, that would have been all of the headlines the next day, which potentially might have distracted from the show. So I'm sure there was a very specific decision made at some point along the line that, no, we're going to move on.
Also, I saw online there was a lot of concern because Pete Davidson, even though announced in the credits, was not on the show at all.
Yeah.
And the reason is an innocent reason. He's making a movie. He's doing a Suicide Squad movie. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason, right?
Can I just tell you something I feel bad about? I like him. I didn't even miss him.
Oh.
I didn't even notice he wasn't on the show.
Well, it's such a huge cast.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people on it now.
Yeah. But yeah, he's doing the Suicide Squad, which is a sequel to the first one, sort of reboot type thing. So he'll be back. He'll be back on the show later on this season.
All right, let's get to Netflix's show, Big Mouth. What do we know about Big Mouth?
Yeah, so Big Mouth is the very, very filthy, also very funny animated show from Nick Kroll. There's an all-star cast on it. Comes back for a third season. It's on Netflix right now. It's definitely not for kids. It delves into a bunch of kids who are going through puberty, what their reaction. It's raunchy, hilarious, over the top. And Netflix loves it so much that they actually announced last night that not only are they doing 2 additional seasons of Big Mouth, but they're also doing a spinoff that focuses on characters in the world of the show. Everybody has their own hormone monster, which is a big monster who kind of pushes them in the directions the hormones are going in puberty. So they're going to have a spinoff exclusively focusing on those characters. So Netflix is definitely all in on this show, and I recommend it. It's a lot of fun and very smart.
It kind of sounds interesting to me.
And this is season 3 already?
Season 3 already. The one thing that I'll say about it is it's also extremely graphic. There's a lot of cartoon nudity and sex in it, so don't watch it in the middle of work in the office like I do sometimes.
You know, I had this conversation with one of my daughters a while ago, Alex, and here's what it went. For me, like, whenever there was a Peanuts holiday special, it was must-see TV if it was the Christmas special or the Halloween special. And my daughters show no interest at all in anything Charlie Brown and Snoopy. And I was trying to figure out why, and I think it's because a generation or so ago, that was kind of cutting edge. You had kids, animated kids, talking like adults. Wow, that was quite a stretch. But now, with the way animation is now, with everything from South Park to The Simpsons to Futurama and on and on and on, they've seen that. That's no big thrill for them, you know?
Yeah, and the envelope just keeps getting pushed and pushed. I remember a time when people were shocked that Bart Simpson said, "Eat my shorts," on television. You know, that feels relatively quaint right now.
Yep.
It really does.
Stephen King has a new project called In the Tall Grass. I don't know anything about it. What is it, and is it worth seeing?
Yeah, this is a new horror movie that is dropping on Netflix today. It comes from Vincenzo Natali. I don't know if you've ever seen a crazy horror movie called Splice or another one called Cube. He directed both of those. They're both bonkers, and you should check them out. But this is based on a short story by Stephen King and his son, Joe Hill. And it's about a couple of people that hear a young boy crying lost in some very tall grass. They wander off of him. Of course, things are very sinister. They're very horrifying. One of our writers, Adam Menta, did a couple of interviews with Vincenzo Natali and really delved into this movie. She liked it a lot. It's very disturbing, very scary, but it also kicks off a month of Netflix and Chills, which is their Halloween programming. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a new scary movie every single Friday on Netflix for the rest of the month.
Wow.
I am loving my Netflix, I have to tell you. And we have a text here. Another show that's great. Mindhunter Season 2 ended with a cliffhanger. I love the cast and setting. Will there be a Season 3 anytime soon?
So they haven't officially picked it up for a Season 3, but I would say probably the thing that's holding it up or anything is there was a huge gap between Season 1 and Season 2 because David Fincher, who's the executive producer in the series, is so meticulous about absolutely everything that's going on. So it's a big hit. People really like it a lot. It's a big critical hit. I think Netflix writes it. So I wouldn't be surprised to hear about a third season pickup sometime soon, but that doesn't mean that we'll actually see the season in the next year or even the next 2 years.
It was so good and worth the wait. It's just really such a fascinating show.
Getting back to Stephen King for just a second, Alex, there's a couple of other Stephen King projects going on TV. Castle Rock is back. I keep seeing clips for it. I've never seen a minute of the show. The clips look so good. Is Castle Rock worth seeking out?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a commitment, but it's one of my favorite shows on Hulu. The idea of the show is it's sort of a Stephen King universe. So it's not a direct adaptation of any of the books, but it hits on a lot of the themes that he deals with. Some of the characters pop up, particularly the recurring characters, you know, how he builds things in this town of Castle Rock. And I know they say this about a lot of shows, and I always get annoyed when people say this, but particularly with the first season, even as a huge Stephen King fan, the first 6 episodes felt very slow, were really trying my patience, and I was about to bail. I watched the 7th episode. It explains everything that happened in the previous episodes, why the pace was like that, everything that's going on. It's this incredible, almost standalone episode focusing on Sissy Spacek, and from that point, I was in.
Oh.
And I'm not allowed to review the next season of the show, even though I've seen a couple of the episodes, but suffice to say, it looks interesting as well.
All right, good.
We have a breaking death in the news from the television world and movies. Diane Carroll has a star of television and screen,
Julia,
has died of cancer, according to her daughter.
It's very, very sad news. She was a groundbreaking actress in the 60s. I believe the first black woman to head up her own TV series.
Yep.
That's very sad news.
That just came over.
And the former wife, Wendy, of Vic Damone. Yeah. Yep. Let's do this. We'll take a break. Alexander Zalbin is here from The Decider, decider.com. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Alexander Zalbin is our guest. He's the managing editor of decider.com, and he's my 19th best friend in the whole wide world.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Wait, is that up or down?
No, it's flat from last week, but you cracked the top 20. You're in great shape. You're in great shape.
By the way, I love reading your friend rankings. It's my favorite article of the week.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. What is Raising Dion? I see Michael B. Jordan's name connected with it, and I love him. What do we need to know about Raising Dion?
Yeah, this is a neat project. This is actually based on a short film about a little, I think he's 5 or 6 year old kid who suddenly develops superpowers and eventually will become a full-fledged superhero down the road. They fleshed it out into a 10-episode series that dropped on Netflix today. Michael B. Jordan is one of the executive producers. He also, this is not really a spoiler, it's in the first episode, he plays the kid's father who died, I think, before he was born, so he appears in flashbacks as well. But it's very sweet, uses real kids, and it's almost like Friday Night Lights meets a Marvel superhero show in a certain way, because it It very much focuses on the family dynamic, very much focuses on the reality of it. The effects are relatively understated. It's an interesting, fun show, and I think people will like it quite a bit.
And again, that's on Netflix. That's Raising Dion. All right, Alex, I'm excited about this one. It's Batwoman, debuting Sunday night on the CW.
You are excited?
Yeah, it looks really good. The previews look great. That's all I know, though. What do you think of Batwoman?
I really enjoyed the pilot quite a bit. There are some faults, and it's very CW, superhero show. So, you know, there are things that, okay, they don't have the biggest budget in the world to pull it off. But Ruby Rose stars as Batwoman. She is Kate Kane, who is Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Batman's cousin. He disappeared at some point in the past. She comes back to Gotham City and adopts the Bat identity. It's sort of a plot of the whole show. And it's fun. The action is really good. Ruby Rose is great in the main role. And one of the biggest things is she plays Kate Kane, and this is from the comic books, as a out lesbian. So in the comics, which does get weaved into the show, she gets roped into a whole don't ask, don't tell thing that goes on. This is the first LGBTQ plus lead of a superhero show, I believe, in the history of network television.
Wow.
So it's a huge deal, but it's also just a fun hour of television. I recommend it.
I read some story that she was almost paralyzed in an accident on set. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it was a little unclear when it happened or where it happened. It may have been on the Batwoman set, but she posted a very graphic Instagram video of her surgery. If you're squeamish like me, do not check it out at all. But she's okay. She got in the accident. They fixed her up. She's doing all right. But, you know, these superhero shows, they're rough on people's bodies, and she is clearly going for it full force.
I'm excited about Sunday night.
Yep.
It's back. The Walking Dead returns. Is this the final season?
This is not the final season. They are going to keep going and going as long as they possibly can. And I'll tell you, without getting into spoilers, I've seen the first couple of episodes of the season. I really like it a lot. I think after season 9 was one of the best seasons in a very long time, Angela Kang, who's the showrunner, keeps the momentum going in this season. We have the war between the heroes on the show and the Whisperers, who are humans who wear zombie skin on their faces, are really heating up. They're making smart choices. They're making powerful choices, big choices. And ever since, you know, we didn't exactly get rid of him, but ever since they took Andrew Lincoln off the show and made this big choice to not have Rick Grimes the star anymore, it's really freed them up to try new things on The Walking Dead. So it's a good time to be a fan of the show.
I am a fan. I never gave up. I do have some family members that stopped after the whole violent incident involving some of our favorite cast members. But you really should come back to it, people. I'm just wondering if people would all of a sudden, if they skipped a couple seasons, can they be caught up in the little previously on, or do you recommend rewatching some of the seasons?
You know, I think you probably can jump on season 10 with a little bit of explanation with some sort of previously on. There's, again, a little bit of a time jump from the end of season 9. Season 9 ended with the Whisperers killing a ton of people and basically saying, leave us alone and we'll leave you alone. That's pretty much all you need to know going into this. Obviously, things don't go well, as you could imagine. But it's everybody kind of preparing for this new type of war that's different than things happened earlier. And one of the greatest things about the show, if you did get off, is I think it's gotten away from this mode of, oh, man, who's going to die next, sort of gawking at a car crash. And it's a lot more about the drama and the characters and figuring out how this world works now that they are continuing to live in it.
It's so funny you said that last part, Alex, because in my head I'm always trying to figure out why my feeling is different watching Walking Dead as opposed to Fear the Walking Dead. And with Walking Dead, I always felt on a weekly basis this impending sense of doom that anyone could die at any moment. And I never feel that on Fear the Walking Dead. I always feel like I know who's going to make it. I know who's not going to make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, they've switched up the modes of storytelling, I think, a bit. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. New York Comic Con is happening here in New York right now. And tomorrow they're going to have a big Walking Dead panel where they finally unveiled the new spinoff. So there's actually going to be three Walking Dead series running at the same time. So given all that, it's going to be kind of fascinating to see how Fear the Walking Dead, The Walking Dead, whatever this next spinoff is called, all differentiate each other from each other, and if they start aping each other's storytelling notes as well.
Yep.
The Walking Dead, I think the key is it got back to storytelling. I really have been enjoying the last few seasons. I just can't wait till Sunday.
All right, it's coming soon, Wendy. Hold tight. Mr. Robot coming back for, I believe, the last season, right? It's the season five is the last?
Yeah, this is the final season. It's premiering Sunday night, very busy Sunday night for TV watchers, 10 p.m. on USA. This is a 13-episode final season for the hacker drama. The twist this time is it's all set on or around Christmas, so it almost plays out as an extended Christmas special, even though it's episodic at the same time. And I've seen the first five episodes at this point. They're phenomenal. I know people kind of got off the show after the first season. The second season was maybe a little muddled, but it's sharp. It's visually interesting. If you had forgotten that Rami Malek was actually a good actor after seeing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, that was subtle.
Yeah, you can get right back into Mr. Robot, and he's great in it. The whole cast is great. It's really unlike any other show on TV.
And then one more story before we let you go, Alex. Riverdale is coming back this upcoming Wednesday, and as I'm sure everyone's aware, one of the cast members, Luke Perry, is no longer with us. He passed away a few months ago. They will handle this somehow on the episode then?
Yeah, we're not 100% sure exactly how it's going to play out at this point, but it's going to be a very different mode for the show. I mean, it's known for teens and murder and sex and outrageous storylines. This is a very different thing for them to be dealing with. The episode is going to be technically the season premiere, but it's going to work as a standalone episode. The filming is going to be different. The scoring is going to be different. There's going to be no previously on. And it all starts with Archie Andrews, played by KJ Apa, finding out that his dad, Fred Andrews, played by Luke Perry, has died. Of course, off screen, we're not going to see it happen. But then it's how Archie deals with it, how his friends help him deal with it. And just based on the promos we've seen and the photos, if you're a fan of Luke Perry, if you're a fan of Riverdale, I don't know exactly how it'll execute over the course of the hour, but it's going to be rough to watch because it seems like they're really, really getting into the emotion of the event.
And again, that episode of Riverdale, the first, the big tribute episode to Luke Perry takes place on Wednesday evening. Alex, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you a week from today.
Sounds great. Thanks so much. Hopefully I can move up on those franchises.
I was just going to say, maybe you'll move up to
up
the top
you.
10.
That's up to you. It's all the pressure's on you. That's Alex Salmon. Decider.com is the website. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.